Expose Karine Jean-Pierre's shocking press conference.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. You heard about the United States taking this abstention at the United Nations on a vote involving Israel. Now, I want to put this into context. Three times before, the U.S. voted against this kind of resolution on Israel, calling for a ceasefire that doesn't condemn Hamas, nor does it require or even ask Hamas to turn and to give over the hostages that still remain, which is estimated around 100. Yep, some of those are alive. Some might be bodies, but it's still a very large number. And that was excluded from the language. So the U.S., the last three times, vetoed, voted against this, and it didn't pass. But this time at the United Nations, the United States decided we'll go along with the language that doesn't include the hostages being released, that doesn't condemn Hamas and their acts of terrorism on October 7th that led to the conflict that is still ongoing. And by doing so, this resolution moves forward. Now, a resolution from the Security Council is a step in the wrong direction against Israel. But what we're most concerned about and why we're watching it very carefully through our team, both at ACLJ Jerusalem, our international team, our NGO status at the UN, is that the United States making these moves politically over time, especially when it comes to the Biden administration and the left. And we can play for you because Karine Jean-Pierre was asked directly about it. Sounds like you're playing politics with this because you've now changed your policy, what, based on 18 to 29-year-olds who are protesting at their college campuses? Take a listen.
This is not about politics. It's not. The president does not lead his national security or things that are the right thing to do in this sense, right? Getting that hostage deal, making sure hostages come home, including, as I said over and over again, American hostages, getting that humanitarian aid into Gaza and making sure that we believe that would lead to a ceasefire. That is not about politics. That is about the right thing to do.
Logan, the language doesn't include getting the hostages out, and it doesn't include Hamas, no condemnation of Hamas. All it does is say if they get humanitarian aid in, maybe then Hamas will do something good. And we've seen time over time, they've gotten humanitarian aid in this entire time, and they sell it or steal it.
Yeah, we know where it's actually going. That's been the concern the entire time. And sure, I mean, maybe there's part of them going, you know what, we're not going to be able to get them to free the hostages, so whatever, throw in the towel. But it's sad when this is the place we got to in America where you're able to say, okay, let's take out all the rough language. What was the rough language? Getting hostages out. You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, this idea, again, we're going to take your calls, this 1-800-684-3110. This is a clear move by the Biden administration. Looking at their poll numbers, which are not good in younger voters, where they typically, the left relies on, it's not just the college vote either, Logan, that we're talking about. We're talking, a lot of people say 18 to 29. I'd say it's more like 18 to 40, 18 to 39, really. And we've seen a shift the Christian community. We've seen a shift amongst, definitely on college campuses, getting more radical in support of an anti-Israel, but in support of Palestinian causes, regardless of the brutality of the attack on October 7th. It didn't take long for everybody to just forget October 7th and just focus on the fact that Israel's response as if they're just attacking Gaza for no reason.
And I think you're right in that age demographic. I think it maybe skews a little older where you have people that are in college now, like I said, maybe, you know, up through adults. If you're on the left, essentially, you have to be. This is your talking point.
You've become anti-Israel.
That's your part of your platform now.
Yeah, and so I want to take your calls, that 1-800-684-3110. The fact that this used to be an issue that united Republican and Democrats, and now there's only a handful of Democrats left in both the House and the Senate that stand with Israel. There are a handful, but they are dwindling. We'll take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ through our Life and Liberty Challenge. Go to ACLJ.org right now. Be part of it today.
Seculo. As I said, phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll get to you coming up in the next segment. We are now joined by Senior Counsel and Director of Policy, the ACLJ, Harry Hutchinson, to discuss a pretty interesting turn of events. You know, Will, you had President Biden. He was on the Today Show on Easter, or NBC, with Al Roker on Easter, you know, discussing all of the fun festivities and in that. But you got to give it to Al Roker. He asked a question that maybe was going to make things a bit uncomfortable for President Biden, but no. They have this answer really prepped. Let's hear from first Al Roker. You know him, love him, followed by President Biden.
And people are saying, but Mr. President, I'm feeling my buck isn't going as far. What do you say to those folks about the economy and what's going on?
Well, I say we have the best economy in the world. We got to make it better. We really do have the best economy in the world. Jobs are up more than they've ever been. We're in a situation where the lowest unemployment rate in 50 years is maintained.
So there you have it. The best economy in the world. We've got to make it better. We have the best economy in the world. Jobs are up. Everything is great. Don't, look behind the curtain. Everything is fine here. And I want to clarify, this actually was this morning. I was a little confused because of the Easter Bunny and all of the presents of the Easter things. They held the annual Easter egg roll today on Monday. So that this was the Today Show that was there. But I just wanted to clarify that in case you wanted to fact check me, Facebook. I want to make sure that you knew that I knew that. But how do you respond to that when you hear? Because it's definitely a prepared semantical, if you will, if that's a word, argument to say this is the best economy in the world.
Well, it's certainly untrue. So, for instance, So he talks about job growth being up. Well, let's focus on jobs for the moment. It's imperative to note that job growth is not up for American-born citizens. Job growth is actually up for foreign-born individuals, including illegals. So I think the president is somewhat confused. Number two, prices are up by 14% since Biden took office. And to some extent, that may understate the price increases that people are incurring at the moment, because the Bureau of Labor Statistics, when it calculates inflation, it focuses on rental prices, not home ownership data. And home ownership costs have gone up for some Americans by a factor of 80%. And so if you are looking at your own mortgage payments vis-a-vis what you might have paid in 2019, the prices have gone through the roof. In addition, gasoline prices are up in part because the United States is supporting a war between Ukraine and Russia, and both countries are destroying energy reserves as part of their war effort. So that is sending gasoline prices up. So one of the things that most Americans should focus on, in my opinion, is that native-born employment is a whopping 5.5 million below its pre-pandemic trend. Now, I grant you that's a trend,
right?
But it's actually 121,000 less than before the pandemic. So many Americans are hurting, and most of the job growth, to finish the story, is in part-time employment.
So I want you to take that statement from Professor Hutchinson here and memorize it. Because when you are at a dinner party or you have your family over, your more liberal friends who are going to regurgitate, oh, we have the best economy ever, and yada, 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 and all these facts. I want you to go back. We just provided you with an extensive reason why that is simply, Will, untrue.
Well, and it makes you wonder if the Democrats get away with this talking point, is their new MO going to be, let's just shut down the economy entirely, then we can get record job growth when we open it back up? Because that's kind of what he's implying here.
And you make an incredibly valid point, Will, because a lot of the so-called job growth is simply a recovery of jobs that were lost during the pandemic.
Right.
And so Biden wants to take credit for that. In addition, it's important to keep in mind that there has not been a growth in high-paying full-time jobs paying full benefits. Mm. And so most people, even if they are newly employed, they are not feeling better about themselves, and justifiably so.
I think it's sort of the old school politics, which is blame the previous administration for anything that is going wrong, and then try to take credit for things that, you know, really you don't have the credit you could take. So it feels pretty normal, weirdly, in politics for this to be the case. It is a ridiculous statement to feel that way. No one feels that way. No one feels like we're living in the best economy of all time. All of us have seen our bills go up. Everyone has seen all food prices go up. Again, you have decisions being made by families who probably never would have thought of, do I need to get this pizza delivered or do I need to go pick it up? I mean, legitimately, those kind of decisions are having to be made because you go, well, they're going to charge me this and then there's going to be a service fee and then, you know, I'm going to have to pin $20 on a tip, and then all of a sudden my $40 to feed my family tonight just went to $80, $85, and I'm sorry, it's no longer about convenience, about saving, you know, as much money as you can when things are increasing and increasing, you know, every day. It feels like the prices are going up. So to say the economy isn't the best place it's ever been, it's just moving around numbers.
Well, and to your point as well, California just started today, as we're on air, a new minimum wage for fast food workers.
Saw that.
It's $20 an hour to work in fast food.
These weren't supposed to be career jobs. I mean, maybe you're supposed to be management, you know.
And right, but to that point, I still don't know that that's a livable wage, yeah, making $20 an hour working at a fast food restaurant. But yet, this is a reactionary type move because of how expensive, how debt-laden our economy is. And I don't know that the workers in California are necessarily going to be super thrilled about this move. Maybe they are because there's some reprieve. But the fact that they have to mandate a 20, which you can get into the whole discussion, Professor Harry Hutchison, about minimum wage law. But the fact of the matter that they felt compelled that it had to get to this point should be a better barometer of the economy than what the President of the United States is saying.
Precisely. So, number one, with the increase in minimum wages in California and in other states, I might add, this should lead to layoffs. But number two, fast food chains are going to face a double whammy because lower income individuals are already spending less at fast food chains. So fill in the names, McDonald's, Burger King, Five Guys. Their prices have gone up, and low-income individuals are actually spending less. So this should fuel job declines, at least in some of those industries going forward. And then there's a second hit that's out there, which is the roaring national debt, which has gone up very fast under Joe Biden. And at some point, the interest payable on that debt will go up. And what does that fuel? It fuels, arguably in the long term, more inflation and more pain for average Americans. So I think part of the problem with Joe Biden is Joe Biden is a wealthy individual who is disconnected from the American people, from average working class and middle class Americans, and he keeps making these statements which make little sense.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Hutchison, for coming in here and really helping educate our listeners and me and Will and really understand the vast spin that can be taken when it comes to the way politics works. When you know the facts and when you see what they are, it's very clear. And look, again, like I said, go back and replay that. Listen to it. Take it in, because you're going to have to be able to defend yourself when you're having these discussions over the next 6 months or so as we head to a presidential election. What are we, 8 months out?
Less than 8 months at this point.
Less than 8 months.
November 5th is when we go to the polls.
Yeah, so it's going to come fast, and there's going to be a lot you're going to have to defend yourself of why you're choosing to either vote or not vote for the current president, for a third party, or for President Trump. Make sure you get those facts and listen to what we broadcast here. I also encourage you, we only got a minute left here till we head to our final segment of the day. I would love to have a full bank of calls and just spend the rest of the day hearing from you, because thousands of you are watching right now, and there's three lines open. I want to hear from you. right now. I want your point of view as someone who supports the work of the ACLJ, as obviously someone who listens to this broadcast, if you're listening on radio or watches it on YouTube or Rumble every day. I want to hear from you. Now is the time to open up those lines on any of the discussions we had today, whether that was Israel, whether that is the economy. Do you feel like, I know a lot of you have been around longer than me who are listening right now, do you feel like we're living in the best economy of all time right now? Best economy in the world? Give me a call, 1-800-684-3110. I just want to spend the next segment hearing from you. Go to aclj.org to support the work of the ACLJ. Again, a special thank you to all of you that support us during that Life and Liberty Drive in the month of March. Broke records, and it's really amazing. I know we are so, so thankful to God and to you for doing that. We'll be right back with Your Voice.
Welcome back to Secular Yours Overseas with the European Center for Law and Justice as we are renewing our work there. Of course, continues on at the International Court of Human Rights and also at the European Parliament. And you've probably, if you follow kind of conservative politics in the U.S. and around the world, you've seen the rise of conservative politics all over Europe. So we're kind of, as we do with the U.S., preparing, like we have our team in D.C., we're preparing the team at the ECLJ and working together on working with these new governments that have kind of been an unknown to Europe for the last three or four decades, that share a lot of our views on issues of life, on issues of support for Israel, on economic issues, democracy, voting, freedom of the press, freedom of speech. So again, it's kind of this whole new world. And what we are seeing then too with our team at the UN is this ability to reach and put pressure on these countries like Pakistan. And we've talked about the Shahzad case in prison, on death row. And Cece Howell, who was at the in Geneva for us at the United Nations, so our team there was able to deliver an oral intervention at the Human Rights Council. These were on video. You haven't seen this one yet. This is a new one. And we wanted to play it for you just to show you, with the ACLJ team is all over the world, active for the persecuted, active for Israel, active for you here in the United States with those 12 pending cases before the U.S. Supreme Court, making sure you have the ability to vote for the candidate of your choice in that last Supreme Court victory. But again, I want you to watch this or listen, if you're listening to the show, about what we're able to do at the UN in calling out Pakistan in front of all the ambassadors.
We will now move to the list of non-governmental organizations.
Giving the floor to the European Center for Law and Justice.
Thank you, Mr. President. Given the treatment of minority women in Pakistan, their forced religious conversions, and forced marriages, the ECLJ would like to commend Pakistan for recently adopting a bill raising the marriageable age for Christian girls from 13 to 16. Although that is a good step, it is still insufficient to fully protect these young Christian girls. The law should be consistent with the international standard, that is, anyone under 18 should not be allowed to marry. Additionally, with the new administration, we hope that Pakistan will finally take a serious look at the blasphemy cases in the country. The ECLJ's affiliate currently represents five innocent Christians in such cases. Shahzad Masih's and Amun Ayyub's cases have been brought before this council many times. We simply ask that the government establish mechanisms to sort out false accusations, stop prosecuting innocent people who face false allegations, and expedite cases that are pending. Amun Ayyub has spent over 10 years in prison. Shahzad Masih has spent over 6 years in prison. We stand ready to work with the authorities to address these issues and work together to fulfill our obligations for justice and the protection of human rights. And as the Pakistani representative said yesterday, justice delayed is justice denied, and we agree. Thank you.
And Cece and our team have done a great job, Logan, because it's not only at the UN Human Rights Council. We have the UN group on the arbitrary detention, I think it's four or five special rapporteurs just on the case involving Shahzad. I think we're very close there. Of course, until they're released and released safely and securely, you have to assume that their life is in danger. But that is one we're very close on. I want to remind people, too, Pastor Saw, who we were working on for 7 years, he's been imprisoned in China for distributing Bibles. We began representing him 5 years ago when the family had kind of exhausted their domestic efforts. And ultimately, the ACLJ sticking with it with our international team, he has been released. He has not yet been returned to the United States, and I don't know. We don't have any indication yet that he's got to the U.S. embassy yet. So we want to be very careful in not providing too much information about where he is. But I do want to let you know that he is out of prison, and that's an example, Logan, of the kind of work that we do that isn't, you know, over and done even within like one term of a president. I mean, it's 7 years in the making, but it's worth it when you're talking about a human life.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is the work that the ACLJ does, whether you hear about it or not. I think it's important to know that a lot of things are happening behind the scenes. I know it's easy to say that, but it's just true. And when we were able to reveal facts like this, when you have a Pastor Saul who you may have heard about 5 years ago, and then you may have thought, oh, they just stopped talking about it. Well, there's reasons things get... Sometimes you have
quiet.
To stop talking publicly because things are happening behind the scenes. And here's one of the proofs of that. He is free in the country, and we are doing what we can to get him back home to his family. But again, long term, these are 5, 6, 7 years, sometimes more, in the making. It's what, and sadly, and even in American law, that is sort of the process here. Not things don't work on a rapid, you know, speed way. A lot of things happen just by sticking to it, going with the process, and winning and losing and winning again. And it's just part of it. We can't do that without the help of all of you. Obviously, all the legal help, like Pastor Saw's legal help, his family's not getting charged for that. Right, you know, there's no fees going to Pastor Saw's from him to us. None of that's happening. We want to put the best lawyers we can on this, and obviously they have families, they deserve to get paid. We can't do that though without the support. This entire organization is built on the backbone of individual supporters like you and ACLJ champions. Those are people that give monthly. But I want you to understand the impact of the donation when it is fully, I mean, you could probably say 99.9%, if not more, is from support, individual donation support.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, that is, a lot of organizations don't have that. There are big grants, there's other things they're selling, they're putting stuff behind paywalls. And as of right now, by the grace of God, we've had to do all that. We've been able to give you all this content for free and provide it to you, whether that's this show, whether that's what's on the website, and of course, the incredible legal help that you can get on the individual level, not just if you're Pastor Saw and it's a good story. We have small cases that are happening all over the country. They're not small, though, on the grand scheme of things. But if you think my problem is too small for the ACLJ, just find out. ACLJ.org/help. You fill out a few forms. Boom, straight to a lawyer, and goes from there.
Yeah, and you'll know right away because we'll contact you. If it's the kind of work that we are able to do at the ACLJ, we will let you know. We'll get more information from you. And if it's not, we'll let you know too that this is. There's no wrong reason. If you think you need the help, go to aclj.org/help.
Yeah. I want to say we've had new champions just in the last few minutes here. So we are now under 80.
These ACLJ champions are
monthly supporters.
So they pick an amount.
Like you donate to your church every week, you donate to us every month. You pick an amount, it automatically charges your credit card, whatever it is. You don't have to think about it. You can do that in a number you like. And it's easy to cancel. So if you say, hey, I can't do it anymore, it's not like everyone knows. Like that happens. I want you guys to make sure you all know how much the work is happening all around the world, and we couldn't do it without you. And I have to say thank you. Because not only did you help us meet our goals, but we exceeded those big fundraising goals. And I appreciate it. We surpassed, as I said, 20,800 ACLJ champions. Our goal for the month of that was to hit 20,000. That was the goal. Could we get 20,000 champions? Finally get over that hump. It took a long time. But then you blew it out of the water with another 800. So we could not be more thankful. Today, we are delivering a critical demand letter to the UN Security Council. If the Biden administration won't stand for Israel, you know the ACLJ will, and your voice will be heard. Like you said, we also had CeCe Heil, senior legal team, was in Geneva at the UN all last week. We're going to talk about that coming up. Also, I'm just going to say this. Not one of you is called. I can see how many of you are watching online. There's thousands of you watching online. All of you have access to phones. If you're watching online, likely you got access to a phone. Give me a call right now. I'd love your feedback. 1-800-684-3110. But Joe Biden doing this was a political move. Do you think he actually believes it?
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your calls, too. If you got comments on it, too, you can put it on those social media sites, share it with your friends and family. And again, we know, you know we're heading into Good Friday tomorrow and, of course, Easter Sunday. So for many of you, this may be the last time you hear from us this week live on the broadcast as you celebrate with your friends and family. Of course, this is a very important month for us as we prepare for kind of this the next season of, you know, going into the spring and summer with you get the kind of into school rush cases. And then in the summer, you get the back to school rush cases pretty quick as well. And let's not forget the election. I mean, yeah. So we've got those issues are haven't even really started to begin yet. I mean, they're just starting to trickle in on some of these Trump cases specifically. But I just wanted people to know right now that we're still heavily involved in what's happening in Israel. I mean, you know, you've heard from Jeff Balaban, who oversees our office in Jerusalem. You've known since the October 7th attacks what we've done for the hostages, if it's bringing them to Washington, if it's bringing them to Spain, throughout Europe, to bring attention to it, we have. You know, the Speaker of the House is bringing attention to them. Some have been released. Some have lost their lives. 100 still remain. We do not know the status. We don't know if all 100 are alive, but we do know about 100 hostages still remain. And yet, at the Security Council at the United Nations, where the U.S. has a permanent seat, and also that means a veto, and they can veto anything, that means all it takes the U.S. to stop it, there's a resolution that was put forward by the U.S. to call for a ceasefire, but that ceasefire also mentioned that you have to return the hostages, both living and dead, and stop the attacks on Israel. And then Israel would stop the attacks on the Gaza Strip. And the U.S., that was voted down by two permanent members. It was China and Russia. So you'd think the U.S. would not accept their ceasefire resolution, which removed any language condemning Hamas, Logan. I mean, think about that. Not even condemning Hamas. Not even condemning Hamas for what they did to people on October 7th. Leave out the rest of the war. Just what they did to children on October 7th and women and the elderly and the hostage taking. It's not there. You won't find it. They don't talk about hostages. And yet did the U.S. veto it so it didn't pass because they could have done a veto and that means that would have killed the resolution? No. They abstained for the first time. After three times voting no, they abstained, and Logan, they say,
and that somehow is supposed to be a win for us.
Karine Jean-Pierre says it's not about politics, as we played in that soundbite. It's all about politics because the base of their party has been the younger voter or that kind of college campus, liberal city voter. And that voter, in this last, I'd say, Logan, since October 7th, has become radicalized in support of the Palestinian movement like blinders on their eyes to the violence that caused this conflict.
Yeah, I'd say it's probably the week after October, when the response started happening.
Yeah.
We said, I remember being on text threads immediately saying,
that takes any action,
the world will change. It'll go from you two saying we stand with the Stars of David and the children of Israel to being like, well, now there's problems on both sides. And they're the ones probably on the most oddly conservative side of it. We've obviously had a lot of liberal voices speaking out specifically. We also have some great voices, by the way, like our friend John from Five for Fighting, who has been out there, Patricia Heaton, and some people who have been friends of this organization, friends of this broadcast, who are out there actually doing the work and trying to spread the word. I posted a great speech that John gave to a bunch of high school students and a bunch of college students. I encourage everyone to go watch that. I think I posted it on my X account, so go do that. We are going to be back. We would love to take some of your phone calls. I do have a couple lines open right now. So 1-800-684-3110. Get your voice in. Heading into this Easter holiday, what are you feeling? What does it feel for you right now? What are the emotions in your community, in your church, specifically even related to what's going on in the Middle East, as it was back then, happening in the Middle East? We'll be right back. Welcome back to Secular. We are joined by Mike Pompeo, setting up the current conversation of what happens if Israel goes into Rafah, major city, and what that means. Of course, the American government and the American press is spinning this as, you know, the end of the world. If that is to happen, does it cause a mass chaos, as if the world isn't already in mass chaos? But I do think before we get commentary from Secretary Pompeo, we should hear what our Vice President Kamala Harris had to say about this, because as you know, there's nothing she loves more than, you know, sometimes it feels like it's buses, school geography, buses, geography, globes, a lot of physical things. Of course, what does she lead with by 10?
Let me tell you something. I have studied the maps. There's nowhere for those folks to go. And we're looking at about 1.5 million people in Rafah who are there because they were told to go there, most of them. And so we've been very clear that it would be a mistake to move into Rafah with any type of military operation.
A mistake, but would there be consequences if he does move forward?
Well, we're going to take it one step at a time, but we've been very clear in terms of our perspective on whether or not that should happen.
Are you ruling out that there would be consequences from the United States?
I am ruling out nothing.
Ruling out nothing. You know, you should have a lot of confidence when Kamala Harris says that she has studied the maps. She's looked at the maps. But I do want to, in all seriousness, ask you, Secretary Pompeo, it does seem like a full-scale, you know, attack, if you will, or you know, surge in Rafah will happen, feels imminent. Why is this crucial in Israel's path to success?
Logan, in the end, you can't leave 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 Hamas terrorists on your border after what happened on October 7th. That will happen again and again and again. It's basically that easy. When I hear Vice President say there'll be consequences, I don't have any idea what they're talking about. Neither does she, what the consequences will be. What are you going to punish Israel for defending itself and protecting its own sovereignty? I can't imagine that's what they're contemplating. Not only do they have to complete this task against Hamas in the south, and it saddens me that Hamas is using these civilians to protect themselves. But make no mistake about it, we still got problems in the north. There are missiles being launched into Israel in the north. There's still 60 or 80,000 people in the north of Israel that can't return to their homes. We wouldn't let anything like that happen in our country. If there were countries, nations firing into ours, conducting terror attacks inside our country, we cannot demand that the Israelis do that in theirs. And I'm confident that if we do, they're going to properly ignore us because they're going to do the right things for themselves.
Mr. Secretary, what concerns me is that the Biden administration seems to be more bold in their language that they'll use against the Israelis, whether it be Kamala Harris here saying that she's not going to rule out anything, or whether it be the fact that they allowed at the UN Security Council a ceasefire resolution to go through. While Admiral Kirby tried to say we don't support it because it doesn't have the language, the abstention, pulling a play out of the Obama playbook, allowing something that damages Israel to go through while under the watch of the American veto. What are your take on this as they do continue to ratchet up what seems to be pure hostility against the Israelis?
This was absolutely an act of aggression against Israel to allow this to pass through. We had the ability to stop it. It's a ceasefire. It doesn't have any a demand for a ceasefire. It doesn't have any mention of even the fact that Hamas did on terrible attacks on October 7th. And it certainly doesn't talk about getting hostages back home. And so when I hear Kirby say this isn't an escalation, that's just nonsense. And he knows better. The reality is that they are now working on domestic U.S. politics at the expense of the Israeli people, of the rightful Jewish homeland. And, you know, that's dangerous not only for Israel. Who's going to negotiate the release of hostages when, if you're Hamas, why would you negotiate when you have the United States siding with you? There's no leverage for the Israeli leadership. This is dangerous for the Gulf states as well. Iran will see this. And the likelihood that there are more attacks from Iran, more attacks from the Yemenis into the Red Sea, as a direct result of the United States not defending Israel's capacity to defend itself, is pretty apparent. I think the risk is really great.
So the waters they're navigating here are the far left of the party, which are obviously pushing the anti-Israel, pro-Hamas narrative. But even within the president's own party, he's getting backlash for the allowing, by abstaining, the UN resolution to go through, whether it's Senator John Fetterman from Pennsylvania, who has been very outspoken in support of Israel through this entire process, Congressman Josh Gottheimer of New Jersey, and Congressman Tom Souza, all have said that we should have not allowed this to go through. They've condemned the resolution. So politically, as we march towards November, where does this land the president in trying to figure out a policy towards the Middle East?
In my experience, we're laughing. My experience with these issues that are truly important, that are national security issues, is when you begin to play politics, you go down a very dangerous path because you end up in a terrible place from a national security perspective. And the chance of you actually picking up any votes is near zero. This never been a partisan issue. Democrats and Republicans alike have supported Israel's right to defend itself for decades and indeed have provided American support so that they could do so. But it's the first time that we've had public statements by a U.S. president siding essentially with the terrorists, all in the aim to try and figure out how to get that last thousand or incremental couple thousand votes in Michigan or Minnesota. That's a bad way to formulate policy, bad policy. And I think it will turn out to be terrible politics as well, because I think many of those folks aren't going to see this as enough, that as you can never do enough for them. And they're not likely to side with President Biden in the election ahead either.
Absolutely. Secretary Pompeo, last question before we let you go. New Gallup poll was released today showing 55% of Americans disapprove of Israel's actions in Gaza. Obviously, we know this is always seems to do with, honestly, the Israel's not the greatest at PR, it seems like. And a lot of times they will lose that PR battle, and we'll see what happens on college campuses. We see what happens on social media and celebrities. But that's up 10% since November. Do you think the Biden administration is being swayed by this? Do you think they're being guided by what they see as this public outcry?
You know, Logan, I actually think they're driving the public outcry. I think the very things we've been talking about today, telling the Israelis that they're overdoing it, having the Secretary of Defense say, hey, you can't go into Rafah without a plan, as if the Israelis would go into Rafah without a plan, I think they are actually fueling that polling data. I think there are those saying, gosh, if the Biden administration is against it, surely this is bad. Here's the good news. While the Israelis may not be winning the PR war, they're going to win the war that really matters, the war that keeps their people safe. And I think in the region, that will be respected. I think that will be respected by the Iranians. And I think Israelis will live better lives and Americans will be more secure as a result of what Israel must do, and I am confident will do.
All right, thank you so much, Secretary Pompeo. We always appreciate you coming on here and being such a big part of this broadcast. We do have some phone lines open right now. Again, thank you so much for your support throughout these years. We do have some phone lines open. As we head into the final segment, I would love to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. If you're on hold, stay on hold. I'm going to get to you. But if you do have something to say, we have some lines open. This is a perfect time to do it as we head into this weekend. We're halfway through the week here on Wednesday, but for a lot of you or your kids, maybe they're off Good Friday, maybe they're off on Monday. That is why we're spending an extra amount of time telling you about our Life and Liberty Drive. I don't mean to just come on here and this be sound like we're just a broken record here and repeating ourselves over and over again, but we could not do this work. We could not have people like Secretary Pompeo on our ACLJ team without you. It's just fact. There may be very little facts left in this world, but that is one of them, that we cannot put together this amazing broadcast each and every day. We cannot do this incredible legal work without you, and of course, without the grace of God to help us push forward, even in times in this country where it feels like, the bridges are falling down all over the place, whether that's literal or metaphorical. And we couldn't do that and be there for you. And honestly, also be there for you when you need legal help. Understand that as well. I always push that because I don't think we talk about it enough. If you go to aclj.org/help, and it's within our scope of what we do here at the ACLJ, you are assigned a lawyer immediately and at no cost. No cost to you. Like, that is wild. No one offers that. Go to aclj.org/help if you need legal help right now. But right now, if you want to always make sure we're there, that safety net is there for you, for this country, and for you personally and your family. We need your support. So go to aclj.org, make a donation today to explain a matching month, if you will. Right now, this Life and Liberty Drive also is matched. So all donations, individual donations, are doubled. You can scan the code that's on the screen if you're watching on YouTube or Rumble or on Facebook. Do that real quick. Look, we'll be back with all of your phone calls. Phone lines now have completely jammed. Hopefully, Hopefully, they're all great. We're able to screen them all. But there may be some that open up, so keep trying at 1-800-684-3110. 3110. I also want to individually thank all of you that are watching. Those who listen on radio as well. If you're listening on terrestrial radio, God bless you. I appreciate it. But using outlets like Rumble, using outlets like, honestly, you may not love them, but you may be on there with YouTube and Rumble. We're able to broadcast this show to the entire world at a very little cost. We have to do the cost of production, and that's where you come in. But unlike radio, unlike some of these things that are very high dollar to be a part of them, we are able to broadcast this show absolutely around the world for free to everyone who wants to listen to it. We can't do that without you as well. ACLJ.org. Hey, one line open. So I know that is, someone didn't make it. Someone didn't make it on 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ. Today, Life and Liberty Drive. Become a champion. ACLJ.org. Secular. We'll be taking your calls, by the way, and so stay on hold if you are on hold right now. We'll get to you a bit later in the show, or you can call in at 1-800-684-3110. We are joined by Jeff Balaban live from Israel. Will, and there has been some updates. We wanted to get some reaction from Jeff.
That's right, and Jeff, you and I had been talking yesterday as you were back en route to Israel about the situation that unfolded at the UN Security Council, and this is where the United States took a new move there, and they kind of called back to the Obama playbook of allowing something to pass that damages Israel by just saying, we're here, but we're not going to vote. What's your readout on the abstention vote from the United States yesterday that allowed a ceasefire resolution to pass the UN Security Council?
Well, you know what they say, silence is deemed consent. And the fact that the United States abstained as the UN handed this unbelievable victory to Hamas, to its Iranian backers, to those who wished death and destruction on Israel, on the Jews, on America, just tells you exactly what an evil turn this has taken. And I could tell you from the moment I arrived here in Israel, that's been the conversation, ranging from shock and dismay to fury and anger at this betrayal by the Biden administration of the Jewish people and the state of Israel.
And I want to get your take on this, because this is, I'm going to read you what Admiral Kirby said as they try to spin that they were not supporting this measure because they abstained. And then I kind of want to push back on this, because that's what we do at the ACLJ. We point out the hypocrisy or the anti-Semitism, or any other manner of anti-Israel action that goes on with this government. But Admiral Kirby said, because the final text does not have key language we view as essential, notably a condemnation of Hamas, we could not support it. So he's going out on television at a press conference saying we could not support it. But as you said, silence is consent in this manner. What's your response to Admiral Kirby?
We know that there have been other administrations, and not just Republican administrations. There were some spectacular administrations at the UN who had our ambassadors to the UN who represented America as a light to the nations, a light to the world, as opposed to just adding to the darkness, which is what's happened here, to turning our lights out. No, the truth is that this was a statement of pure evil. This is a statement that evil wins, that it's okay to launch a massive, not just terror attack, but it's a war on an innocent nation against innocent men, women, and children, and that the world will back you because the U.S. is in the hands of a feckless administration that, as we all know, because what I find fascinating is that the media reports this widely and nobody even seems to understand, no one contradicts it, understands the morality that's implied here, which is that everyone talks about the, quote, two-state solution, Michigan and Minnesota, because obviously the Democrats want to keep those two states, which are important swing states, which have heavy anti-Israel, anti-Semitic Muslim communities and voters. Not to say that all Muslim communities and voters are anti-Semitic, but the ones in Michigan and Minnesota certainly are. And it's clear that for this domestic concern, they're throwing Israel under the bus. Let me tell you, America should not be following. America should be leading. They should be down there remonstrating against the evil of this idea of calling for a ceasefire, which is to say Hamas wins, terror wins. But, you know, it's completely consistent with what this administration has done since the beginning, which used this horrible attack on Jewish civilians, on Israeli innocents, to call for the creation of a Palestinian state. And now they're strengthening Hamas, which has always been the dominant force in Palestinian control and power. They're strengthening Hamas as the leadership, ensuring that if Hamas survives, which they're trying to keep, which America seems to be trying to keep happening, then they will be in control. This is nothing but other than an absolute disaster.
Jeff, I just was curious, from a humanitarian point of view even, I think we're seeing so much, and on the media when they're covering Israel, we're seeing Gaza, we're seeing destruction, we're seeing all the kind of chaos that surrounds it. What is the life during wartime in Israel? I just want to know, what's the feeling, the emotion on the streets at this point? We are months into this. It's not like, you know, the days where every business is shut down and they're trying to figure out what to do. We're now 6 months into this. Plus at this point, what does it feel like to be there? I've only been there during, you know, obviously there's always times of struggle in Israel. There's always times of you got to always be safe and be aware, but you can not put your guard down, but it doesn't feel like an unsafe place to be just walking around. Obviously, we know the anti-Israel sentiment that's happening even in our college campuses here. In Vanderbilt here, we had an issue yesterday. Mm-hmm. But what about there on the ground? Because we're not seeing regular Israeli life by any means being portrayed in the media.
It's a great question, Logan. And it's very difficult to answer unless someone's actually here, because on the one hand, everything has changed. Nothing is normal. There's not a family here that hasn't lost somebody close to them. There's not a family here or who hasn't had someone serve for months in horrific danger, and therefore is agonizing every moment of the day about their father, their mother, their brother, their sister, their child, their parent. It's an ongoing trauma. The trauma of the hostages is an ongoing trauma. It's a very small nation. It's a nation that feels much more like a family. And so there is trauma, and yet life does go on. And part of the problem is that the people in this country have learned how to live with a certain level of violence and terror. And yet, what's extraordinary is, and I wonder what will happen this year, you know, every year, year after year, they do a poll internationally. I forget under whose auspices, of the happiest countries in the world. Israel is always in the top 10. Both the Jews and the Arabs here are always in the top 10 of happiness. You know, happiness is not related to your danger. It's not related to your physical comfort. Happiness is related, I believe, to being a sense of living a life that's connected to what you're supposed to be doing. And I think everyone who lives here recognizes that it's important. The Jews have come back to our homeland, and it's important to exist and forge ahead.
Well, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate you hopping on today live from Israel, you know, running our office in Israel, the ACLJ Jerusalem. We couldn't be more proud to have that set up there, and hopefully that expands and grows as the support continues from a lot of people here. You know, you'll see the press, and you'll feel like everyone in America is now on one side of this issue. We all know that it's a very divided country, and sadly, this has become one of those topics that felt like it didn't used to be divided, but now you're seeing a coalition of folks that maybe you never thought would in support of Israel, and then, of course, those who are against it. We appreciate you, Jeff, for coming on. I did want to tell you, we are going to hear, Will, from Cece Heil, who is currently supporting Israel at the UN.
And this morning, for us, because it's evening, obviously, in Geneva, she delivered an oral intervention in defense of Israel. So our team has the courage to go to Geneva in the hostile environment that is the United Nations and deliver a message, an oral intervention in defense of Israel, and you're going to hear that. And tomorrow we'll play a defense that she gave in an appeal, really, to the Human Rights Council regarding our client Shahzad, yep, who is in Pakistan. That one hasn't happened yet, our time. So we'll have it hopefully tomorrow, sure, for everyone.
Stay on hold. If you have questions or comments, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That is going to do it for today's broadcast. Again, support the work of the ACLJ. My last call today for you to become an ACLJ. I'm going to say today, become an ACLJ champion. That is a monthly supporter. Will, did we have a number that we hit, that we need to hit that stretch goal?
Yeah, we need. Give me 1 second.
1 second. We've got 25 seconds. You find us that number, Will. I know it's under 150 to hit that stretch goal. So under 150 people.
111.
That's what's a big move in the last few minutes here. 111. There's a lot more of you watching right now just on Rumble and just on YouTube. Become an ACLJ champion. That is a monthly supporter at any level that you feel comfortable with. Of course, you can cancel anytime. ACLJ.org. Talk to you tomorrow.